Thank you for listening to the Diocese of Winchester podcast. These talks and reflections are designed to encourage and support our parishes and communities. To hear more, go to our website at winchester.anglican.org.
In preparing a series of thoughts for the day for the cathedral in Holy Week, I've been struck by the sheer physicality of the last 7 days of Jesus' life, the 7 days leading to his death and resurrection, and especially by the ways in which the hands of those around Jesus are used for healing and for hurt, for good and for ill. Think of the hands of praise on Palm Sunday as Jesus entered Jerusalem. The disciples threw their cloaks on the donkey. The crowds spread their cloaks and spread leafy branches on the road, which they'd cut or ripped from the trees. And it's difficult to believe that when they were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," that they weren't waving their hands at the same time. Even the name of the palm branches makes a connection. The Latin word for the palm of the hand, the palma, is the same as that for the palm branches, because its branches looked like a spread hand. And then the hands of outrage, as Jesus enters the temple and uses his hands to overturn the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons, shouting, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." On the Wednesday of Holy Week, we read of the hands for anointing, when Jesus was at supper in the house of Simon the leper. And a woman came in who anointed Jesus' feet with very expensive ointment and wiped them with her hair. What a beautiful act of love to use her hands in this way, which Jesus interpreted as preparation for his burial. And is usually thought as being that same day for the hands of betrayal, as Judas Iscariot, for whatever reasons — the Gospels don't say anything about his motives — for whatever reasons, Judas agrees to betray Jesus into the hands of the chief priests and receives into his hands the price of the betrayal, the 30 pieces of silver. As the week moves on and the darkness of grief and sorrow descends, on the first day of unleavened bread, Maundy Thursday, the disciples are sent to use their hands of preparation, lovely preparing the upper room where they will celebrate with Jesus a Passover meal unlike any other. Once Jesus and the disciples gather there before the meal in St. John's Gospel, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, washing them with the hands of service, demonstrating his way of loving service and showing them the path of loving service with which they are to lead the church after his death and resurrection and ascension and sending of the Holy Spirit. And then, with the hands of blessing, he breaks the bread, shares the wine in remembrance of himself, commanding the disciples to do this and giving them and the whole church this memorial of his sacrifice, this foretaste of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of hope and life and love for this world and for the next. In the darkness of the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is betrayed with a kiss into the hands of hate, to those who arrest him, mistreat him, strike him, beat him, bear false witness against him, unjustly condemn him, and finally lead him out to the cross with which they will nail him and crucify him. But not before Pontius Pilate washes his hands of cowardice, fully knowing that Jesus was innocent, having found no crime in him deserving death, but not being strong enough or bold enough to stand up against the crowd, or fearing for the consequences to him and his position, falsely declaring his own innocency in this matter and allowing Jesus to be taken to his death. And lastly, on Good Friday, the hands of love, as his disciples and those around him lovingly took his dead body down from the cross and carefully prepared it for burial in the stone tomb. The sculpture in front of which I'm sitting in the Lady Chapel at the east end of the cathedral is the wonderful Pieta by Peter Eugene Ball, showing the Virgin Mary holding the lifeless body of her dead son in her hands after his deposition, after his being taken down from the cross. There are many, many opportunities to reflect on this story over the coming days, in our local churches, online, in the cathedral, or via the live stream. And I hope you'll be able to take some time during Holy Week to walk through the darkness of these days as you prepare for the light of the new dawn of Easter Day. And I could say a great deal about the use of hands on that day too. As you find opportunities for reflection in whatever ways are most helpful and possible for you, I hope you'll be able to reflect on the hands of all those who are part of the narrative of the events of Holy Week. And most importantly, to consider your own hands and the ways in which you use them for healing and for hurt, for good and for ill. What is your place in the ongoing story of the life of Christ and the journey of faith on which you are? As you commemorate Holy Week and celebrate Easter, what might God be saying to you about the call on your life for the weeks and months and years ahead? May God bless you richly in these coming days. Lord Jesus, your words are now twisted against you, your hands now pierced with nails, and yet your words bring life, your touch brings healing. When we are challenged, help us not to lash out in anger. When we are hurting, give us grace to echo your words of forgiveness. May your wounds bring healing to our broken world. Amen.